Welcome to the Right Off the Bat podcast with Martin Rowe and Evander Lomke, a discussion on the amazing and infuriating, distinct and intertwined worlds of baseball and cricket, literature and life.
This is Evander Lomke at Right Off the Bat headquarters. I'm going solo this time. I don't know if I scared Martin away, or perhaps Martin has a migraine, or God, send out for Scotland Yard. I feel like Spick without Span. I don't know, Abbott without Costello. Romulus without Remus. I might also ask, are Brighton girls really like the moon? Never mind. So on the 193rd anniversary, plus 48 hours or so, given time differences, of John Keats being struck in the eye by a cricket ball, permit me this limerick, if not a full-blown ode, in the poet's honor. There once was a poetriarch named Keats. To no author does he take a back seat. Surely all you agree that no rhymester like me could knock the metaphors out from his cleats. Well, gotta get that out of my system. More to the point, let us then, you and I, when the evening is spread out across, well, never mind, let's talk about what we're here to talk about. Opening day 2012, which is actually opened in Japan already, between Oakland and the Mariners. I think the series might have been split. I'm not sure where we stand exactly, but some teams have started, most haven't. There are really three points in this podcast I want to make, and this is the first podcast we've done on an opening day since our book, Right Off the Bat, was published. The three points. One, what is the point of spring training? Two, there are four wild cards, egads. Three, my predictions, for which I'm sure the universe is waiting with bated breath. So to go to point number one about spring training, once upon a time, certainly in the old Babe Ruth days, into the DiMaggio and Mantle and Willie Mays and down to Pete Rose and much, much closer to our own time, but not too close to our own time, there was a real need for spring training. Why? The money wasn't really quite there for the players, and most of them, except for the super-duper stars, actually had other jobs. They had winter jobs. They owned clothing stores. They ran bowling alleys. They worked in hardware stores. I can remember vividly that Al Downing, a fantastic pitcher for the Yankees in the mid-60s, led the league in 1964 in strikeouts, was selling tickets at the advanced sale booth during the off-season. So now, of course, the money is a very, very different motive for players not to have to work during the off-season for the most part, not to have to play winter ball occasionally. The motivation is simply there to stay in shape. Somebody like Babe Ruth would show up at spring training, especially late in his career, and he would go into a big reducing machine. I mean, these machines look like clothes dryers. I mean, they would sit there and sweat it out and trying to get his muscles back into shape. Well, none of that is really necessary anymore. The money is so fantastic, and the players, because of that, are just year-round in great shape that there's absolutely no need for conditioning in spring training. The other reason that spring training was a necessity once upon a time was simply to bring Major League Baseball to far-flung Sunbelt places like Florida and Arizona. Of course, we all know now Florida has its own two teams in Miami and in Tampa, and that there now exists the Arizona Diamondbacks, not to mention the Colorado Rockies, which are, by my East Coast reckoning, is almost in the neighborhood. I know that it's really not, but you get the point. So really, why spring training? The only point that I can see for it now is simply to test out the new talent, to get some idea where your double A and triple players are in terms of talent level and in terms of where they might be able to help the club somewhere down the road, either in the following season or two, depending on the age of the person, or what they could possibly do for the team later in the year when the inevitable injuries come about. So really, there's a long spring training period that, you know, once upon a time, at least 30 games. And I think, too, that spring training standings were kept and poured over by the fans and whatnot. There's just a lot less, to me, need for the spring training Of course, on the other hand, I mean, just to contradict myself a little bit, it is great for snowbirds going down to Florida, getting to see, you know, the players up close, you know, from February to March and so on. But spring training just is not what it once was. Number two, 4 wild cards. That is 2 wild cards in the American League, 2 in the National League. I almost feel that we're becoming the National Hockey League. How many games does it take to determine the 2 best teams in each league? Well, apparently a lot more than the 162 that are regularly scheduled. Now, there are pros and cons to the extra wild cards that I can see right off the bat, to quote a phrase. The plus, it will give potentially the season an extra dimension with more teams in races. Now, remember, this final wild card, the first wild cards between the 2 so-called wild card teams with records that are less good than others in their respective divisions, will be a 1-game playoff. And that's pretty darn intense. And, of course, no team would want to end up in that sort of situation. I could also imagine, though, on the flip side of this, a situation whereby a team like the Red Sox, for example, had an unprecedented collapse at the end of last season, would be able to coast into a second wild card spot. So, as I said, there are pluses and minuses to the extra wild card. I myself, being a bit of a purist, I just can't understand why 162 games for every team is not enough to ferret out and weed out the best teams, and that the 2 best would then go to a World Series. But that's just me. I'm very, very old-fashioned. And of course, we've had since 1969 baseball playoffs, which is a very, very long time. We're going on 43 years. So, hey, I've got to get used to it. Now, drum roll, please. What everyone has been waiting for, the right off the bat, from right off the bat headquarters, predictions for the 2012 baseball season. One caveat. Very, very few people outside of St. Louis Cardinals fans would have predicted the Cardinals would have won the World Series in 2011. As we all know, the predictions are a little bit wacko and a little bit crazy. Nonetheless, everyone seems to enjoy this game, and I'm no different from anyone else in that regard. So here they come, including the 2 wild cards in each league. Tampa, Los Angeles Angels, Detroit Tigers, Texas Rangers, first wild card. Can never discount those Rangers. They're tremendous. Second wild card, New York Yankees. In the National League, the senior circuit, the Philadelphia Phillies, Cincinnati Reds. Love those pitchers on the San Francisco Giants. Now, I'm not sure if a single division can have a winner and 2 wild cards. I don't know if it really would work that way. But I'm going to go way out on a limb here and put the 2 wild cards into the National League Eastern Division, namely the Miami Marlins, and I love that new dome stadium they have, and the Atlanta Braves. Very, very hard to ever discount the Braves in any way, shape, or form. So those are the predictions from right off the bat. I have very, very little to add to the cricket universe. We'll have to wait for Martin to come back from his sabbatical. So from right off the bat headquarters, here is Evander Rowe for Martin Lumpke, signing off. And wherever you are, and whichever game you play, may the ball always meet the middle of your bat or arrive in the glove or gloves with a satisfying thud.